All right. Praise the Lord. Are you okay? God is good. Our text here is in Genesis 26. So he, verse 25, he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent there, and their Isaac's servants dug a well. Three things, the altar, the tent, and the well. And pretty much that's all we do as Christians. We have an altar, we pitch our tent, and we dig our well. Praise the Lord. We talked about the altar last week and a little bit the week before. The altar is a place of consecration to God. Consecration comes after revelation. The Bible says in the book of Acts that the God of glory spoke to Abraham. And when God spoke to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham built an altar. Revelation, ongoing revelation, and every time Abraham had another understanding of God, Abraham will build an altar to commemorate the fact that God met him. Hallelujah. We said that the altar demands our best. It's a place where we present our bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable unto God. We also say that the altar is supposed to burn during the night hours until morning. And many times it's great to dedicate ourselves to the Lord when things are going well. But when things are not going well, then we hop off the altar. When things are, we're going through, sometimes it's reversed. When we're going through struggles, we give our life to God because we want the help of God. But when things are beginning to get really good, we forget the altar of God. Like Derek Prince says, his greatest fear was success. Because success has a way of deceiving us. When things are going well, we let our guards down. And sometimes we build the altar in great moments and then forget when things are going wrong. On the other hand, we build altars when we are needing help in times of pain, but when things go well, we forget it. Are you all right? And I see it over and over again. People are giving their lives to God. They find the help they want. And when things begin to go really, really good, they begin to go the other way. Hallelujah. And it's one of those things we need to look at over and over again. Because sometimes that's the reality of life. Hallelujah. Jairus came to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, my daughter is dying. She's sick." And Jesus, he said to Jesus, "Come and lay your hand on her, and she shall be well." On the way there, the woman with the issue of blood came over and got healed. We shared about that before. The woman... Jesus did not come to heal the woman. The woman just got healed by faith. And sometimes when we reach out like that woman, we'll get touched by God. But Jesus did not come for that woman. Jesus was actually going to the pastor's house to heal the pastor's daughter. And then the people that came from the pastor's house came over and said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. The girl is now dead. Now the situation has changed." And many times when the situation changes, we change our consecration. We change our commitment. We change the things that we said will never happen again. We change the things that, you understand what I'm saying? And then Jairus now is standing there with a dilemma. What he put on the altar, what he said, has now completely changed. He said, come lay your hand on my daughter, and she shall be well. But that was when she was sick. Now she's dead. Now she needs to think about a funeral. And Jesus said something that all of us need to remember. He turned around to Jairus and said, just believe. Don't say anything more. If you have put it on the altar, let it be on the altar. Are you all right? And then Jesus came over and raised the dead and told everybody to give the girl some floaters. Some fried Maori bread. Hallelujah. That will fix anything. Are you all right? But the altar is putting God where God is supposed to be. Hallelujah. Have a look at Isaiah 50. I'm just hitting a few points and then we'll carry on into this. Isaiah 50. Verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? You fear the Lord, you're obeying the Holy Ghost, but you're walking in darkness. It's a contradiction that you believe God, you are obeying his voice, but you are walking in darkness and you have no light. And you say, hang on a minute, God. You're supposed to be the light of the world. Hallelujah. In God is light and in him there is no darkness. And you and I are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. His word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And we have a God that's light. We have a people that are light. We have a promise that is light. And here it says, you are fearing the same God of light. You are obeying the voice of the God of light. But you are walking in darkness and you have no light. Why? Because there are circumstances in life that appear like that. And you make a dedication. You put something on the altar. And all of a sudden it's dark. You have no light. And this is what it says. Let that person trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon God. When things don't seem to go well, you do everything God tells you to do, and it doesn't seem to happen. Abraham walked with God, asked God for a boy, and it didn't seem to happen. And when God asked him to offer sacrifice, he did. And instead of God turning up, the birds turn up to eat the sacrifice. How many times you dedicate something to God, and instead of God turning up, the devil turns up? I had a young pastor in Auckland, and he was on a 40-day fast, and I was praying for him. And he wrote his will. He's never been on a 40-day fast, and he's been fasting, and I think it was about the 30th day or 28th day, he wrote his will, because he said, God told me I was going to die. And I rang his wife, I said, where is, he's away on a fast, on a retreat. I said, go find a dairy, buy some Ribena, and go and give the Ribena to him. And tell him I said to drink the Ribena. So she did that. And when he drank the Ribena, something happened. He got energized and said, it was the glorious thing I've ever. And then he said to me at the end, how come God told me to write my will because I was going to die? I said, God did not talk to you. He said, what do you mean God did not talk? I was fasting. I said, so was Jesus. And the first voice Jesus heard in the 40-day fast was, if you are the Son of God, the first voice he heard was the devil's voice. And sometimes you dedicate things to God, you dedicate your life to God, and instead of God turning up, the devil turns up. And many times when the devil turns up, we take the sacrifice off the altar. Why? Because the situation has now changed. Are you all right? And here it says, the guy believes God. The guy is following the voice of the Lord. He is a man of God. And now he's walking in darkness. Are you all right? He's got no light. Then God says, trust in the Lord. And rely on your God. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon God. Rely upon God. Lean upon God. Why? Because at that time, it's very crucial. You're going to do something. And you're going to do something that is actually not bad. As far as you're concerned, it's the most glorious thing you can do. You're going to do it, but this is, it's not wicked, it's great. So this is what it says. Look. Look. What does it mean? Look. He said, all you who kindle a fire. Why are you kindling now a fire? Because you want light. And because there's no light, and even though you are a light of the world, and even though your God is light, and even though his word is light unto your feet and lamp unto your, even though you're walking in, as far as you know, according to the voice of his servant, his Holy Ghost, there's no light, and you're walking in darkness, and because now you're in darkness, now you're gonna create something that gives you a bit of light. Hallelujah. You're now going to try and light your path with some kindling that you found somewhere. And this is what it says. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire. Walk in the light of your fire. Walk in your own light. Walk in the light of your fire. The altar has fire on it, and it's not your fire. But it says, when you walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks you have kindled, the sparks you have kindled, your education comes in, your background comes in, your upbringing, everything you know now comes into play. Why? Because it appears that the word of light is dark. It appears that the God of light is dark. It appears that the man of light is dark. It appears that everything is dark. Now your education, your edification, your logic, everything else comes in. You're going to now light a path that you understand. Trust in the Lord with half your heart with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. Oh, not, okay? So this is what it says. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. In the dark night of the soul, when you can't see, don't recant your dedication. Don't recant your consecration. Don't go back to what you said. He said, come, lay hands on my daughter, and she shall be healed. Now he's standing there, And Jesus had to turn around. You have already put her on the altar. Leave her there. Don't say anything more. Just trust. Just believe. Just stand and trust. Having done all to stand, stand. Are you all right? Well, I don't know if I excite you, but hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Hallelujah. And when God directs your path, sometimes the only light you see is as far as the second step. And you have to trust Him to take that step, and trust Him to take the next step, and trust Him to take the next step until the journey is complete. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Well, the altar has to do with your dedication, your consecration, your attitude to yourself, your attitude to God. Hallelujah. Because God wants you to seek something first. It's what? His kingdom. All right. Hallelujah. Have a look at Matthew chapter 6. Now, let me say this to prelude what I'm going to say. Josh. Hallelujah. Everyone on the planet look for exactly the same thing. Whether you live in a slum or a penthouse, every single human being look for these things. Food. Clothes. Shoes. Bills to be paid. Everybody, I don't care where you live. Everybody looks for those things. You worried last night about what are you going to eat tomorrow? And you know, you just finished eating, what are you going to eat tonight? And you just finished, what are you going to have for breakfast? I mean, you worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. And everybody on the planet looks for those things. That's why politicians, when they campaign for an election, they talk to you about those. Huh? I don't care which politician is a French politician or Samoan politician or New Zealand politician or the President of the United States. They all talk about the same thing. Why? Because everybody looks for it. I'm not angry. I'm just trying to emphasize a point. And people vote for that because they think the government will meet those needs. Are you all right? Most of the time they lie to you, but we vote for a different government next time. And then they'll lie to you, and then another government will lie to you. What's wrong with that? We are looking to the government to supply all our needs according to their riches in glory that is in Wellington in the bank that are going broke. Now you say, well, every one of you sitting right here know that that's true. Is that right? Yeah. Why do you? They protest? They want higher wages. Why? They want better food, better medical care. Huh? nice clothes, fashion shoes. Hello. Everybody looks for the same thing. And it's so easy for the politicians when they get up to campaign. Why? They are speaking to your needs. And as long as you have needs, they'll speak to it and you will vote according to your... You will vote. You won't vote according to your convictions. You will vote according to your needs. Are you all right? So we live because we want something. And guess what? We can do exactly the same thing with God. I love you, Lord. Give me $1,000. And I lift my... I need... Hello? To worship you. I need some... I need an outfit. Oh, my soul. Those kids' shoes are running out of soul. We actually serve God the same way. I don't know if you're liking this, but you should see your faces. This is what Jesus said. Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What? Do not worry about your life. Now, that's almost an insult. Why? Because all of us worry about our lives. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body? Let me say this. Life is more than what you eat. Life is more than what you're pursuing. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Life is more than what you eat, more than clothes, more than the things that you pursue. Hallelujah. So what's the answer? What if life is more than that, what is life? What shall we do? Verse 33. But that's a very simple verse. Many of us memorized that verse. You know that verse. You just did not know its context. You did not know where it was found, but you knew it. Is that right? Many of you just realize now it is found in Matthew 6:33, but you knew the verse before you knew Matthew 6:33. Is that right? Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and how many? How many? All these things shall be added. So don't look for what is added, because when you find what is added, you don't still not get the kingdom. But when you find the kingdom, everything you're looking for is added. Our problem is many of us don't even seek the kingdom. We don't even know what a kingdom is. Why? Because we live in a democracy and we're trying to put a kingdom thing into a democratic brain. And it doesn't fit. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. The kingdom of God is a kingdom. Hallelujah. I was sharing with the first service this morning about some practical things about a kingdom. And if you seek first, if you seek that so that you can understand the kingdom and how a kingdom functions, many of your worries will just I'll fly away. Fly away. Hello? Many of your worries will disappear if you understand what a kingdom is. Jesus prayed, let your kingdom come unto the earth as it is in heaven. Now, in the last few years, New Zealand is a democracy. Before New Zealand became a democracy, it was a colony of a kingdom. What do you do with a colony of a kingdom? You duplicate the kingdom in the colony. You duplicate its laws, you duplicate its mannerism, you duplicate its king, you duplicate what happens in the kingdom, you duplicate that in the colony. And the Bible says, let your will be done on earth. That means earth is a colony of heaven. It's a colony of a kingdom. And when you live on earth, you should live to live out the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God, so that in your life, it actually duplicates what the kingdom is. And when people look at the citizen of the colony, they will recognize the king. Even though the king is not present, they will see the nature of the king and the nature of the kingdom, but they see that in the colony. Hallelujah. Say amen. Now, if you go to America, I'm using America because of a particular illustration. If you go to America, you drive on the right-hand side of the road. If you come here, you drive on the... It's illegal to drive on the right-hand side of the road. It's against the law of this kingdom. Why do we drive on the left? Because when our king drives, he drives on the left. If you go to America, you go to a restaurant, the first thing the American asks for, if there are Americans here, they'll probably say, that's not what I asked for first. But the first thing they ask for, can I have an iced tea? And sometimes you don't have to ask for the iced tea. They will pour it out complimentary. So you have an iced tea. If you come here and ask for an iced tea, you won't get it. Why? You'll get a hot cup of tea. Why? Because our king drinks hot. Talk to me. Our king drinks hot tea. And he drinks it in the morning, at morning tea, and afternoon tea, and tea. Now, why do we call the meal in the evening tea? Because our king calls it tea. In America, they call it what? Dinner. Why do we do these things? Because we for many years, we were a colony of a kingdom. Hello? Now, in a kingdom, there are no elections. And that's the problem with sometimes with our church government, because we want elections. Hello? You don't vote the king in. It's his right to be king. The only vote there is in a kingdom is the king's vote. And he votes for his citizens. He actually grants citizenships to his citizens. And when a king grants you citizenship in that kingdom, you become a property of the king. And everything you need is supplied by the king. Let me take it a little bit further. What's Charles Du Bois' name? William and Harry. Are they earning a wage? Why not? Hello? They don't. That doesn't mean you don't go to a job, but if you understand this, it'll set you free. Why don't those boys get up in the morning and worry about where they're going to get their breakfast from? You know why? Because they're sons of the king. And can you understand the frustration? I didn't read it out, but it was the next verse. He said, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, and what you're going to wear and everything. Look at the birds of the air! Can you look at the birds of the air? Who gives them their breakfast every day? Look at the lilies of the field. Solomon, in all his glory, could not dress like that lily, and yet that lily will wither and die in 8 hours, and I put it there. I'm your king. Hello? Say amen. Is William and Harry trying to buy a house? Are they trying to get a mortgage? Can you see how we've been shortchanged by a lot of what the world comes in? That's why I said, you know, sometimes when you don't have light, instead of trusting your king, you create your own light. And the king said, okay, walk in your own light. You'll lie down in sorrow. Are you okay? Look at the birds of the air. They don't toil. They don't go to factories, right, and sew their own clothes. Why? Because the king that created them watches over them. Guess what the Bible says about your king? He doesn't sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. The king doesn't sleep. He doesn't even slumber. He watches over you. Nothing escapes his attention. All you need to know and all you need to do is know him, his kingdom, and trust him. And when things are dark, you still trust him. Because there's more light in that trust than you would ever know. Are you all right? And when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with the government. So you need right standing with the government of heaven. That doesn't mean you rebel against the government down here, but it's right standing with the government. When you're in right standing with the government, then the things that pertains to you, whether it's your clothing, your health, become the king's responsibility. Even the roads become the king's responsibility. And his reputation is at stake when things are not going well. Let me say this. No single cent left the planet today. Let me say this again. No single cent left the planet in the last 6,000 years. Not 1 ounce of gold left the planet. Now, when you get to where the kingdom is that we duplicate down here, guess what they use gold for? Asphalt. Hello? You know what gold's for? Asphalt. You know the pearls, you go, you know the ladies go look for pearls and the guys go buy them. You know what the pearls are used for in the kingdom? Doors. Seek ye first the altar. When you really understand the altar, you wouldn't shy away from it. You'll run to it. It's your dedication to Him. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above all God. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above all God. I exalt. Let's stand together. Let's sing to Him. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Bow your heads. Make your own dedication to the Lord afresh today. Dedicate yourself to seek the kingdom. Dedicate yourself to the King afresh. The lover of your soul. The one that never sleeps nor slumbers. The one that watches over you. And if things are dark right now, trust in Him. Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. A man who calmed the sea. Even when it's dark, the hold of his hand, the grip of his palm, is more secure than the seas of life. Hallelujah. If you're here today, and you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, you seek everything else that everybody else seeks after, but you have not sought the kingdom. Today, you can give your life to Jesus. You can come to know the King of this kingdom that watches over you, that died for you and rose again, that sacrificed Himself for you, that shed His blood, His body broken for you because He loved you. And He wants you to live to duplicate what the kingdom is like. If you're here today, you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, and you put your hand up and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You today. Help us to prioritize our lives, to know that You love us, to know that You're there not to take our joy away, but that even in our sorrow, joy will be birthed. Bless Your people today. Touch our lives afresh. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open our eyes to see. that You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Your kingdom knows no end. We bless You today. You're a good God to us. Give Jesus a thank You. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Now may the peace of God Almighty, the love of Christ, and the fellowship of His Spirit be with you today and always. In Jesus' name. And every kingdom citizen say, Amen. God bless you.